It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there are special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom over government force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. And it is an amazing team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. That way you'll get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. The show comes to you 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday on all KLZ 560 platforms. First hour is rebroadcast 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Second hour, 10 to 11 at night. Those platforms are KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, the KLZ website, the KLZ app, so you can listen anywhere in the world. And my understanding is if you say play KLZ Alexa, we come in loud and clear there as well. I wanted to say thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. It is because of these amazing sponsors that we are on the air. I know all of them personally and highly recommend each and every one of them. It is Holy Week, and we are pre-recording for most of the shows during Holy Week, and so pleased to have on the line with me Kevin Lundberg. He is our regular guest during the legislative session in hour number one of the Kim Munson Show on Tuesdays. Kevin Lundberg, welcome to the show.
Well, Kim, thank you. It's great being with you as always.
Well, and pre-recording always brings maybe a few challenges because who knows what's going to happen between now and the time that this is broadcast. But I think that go ahead.
Well, I'd simply say particularly in the final weeks of the legislative session because things fly through very quickly and sometimes things pop up that you didn't expect and you got to keep your eyes open.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you are doing that. I thought we'd just keep this very high level in many of the things that have been happening, beginning with our children. And so let's talk high level, at least at the beginning here. It seems to me that there is this attack on our children, that our children are prey to these radical activist, extremist agendas or ideologies out there. And I think a lot of parents don't understand it. They don't believe it. I can just see myself trying to have a conversation with parents of young children regarding this House Bill 1312, trying to explain to them that the state of Colorado under 1312 basically can take your children away from you if you do not affirm their gender dysphoria. And the really difficult thing about this is that we are seeing this agenda being pushed into our school districts and our school curriculum. And then, of course, kids, they're questioning. They might come home questioning, and the parents would not affirm their questioning. They conceivably could be taken from the parents. This, and I don't think people believe it, Kevin Lundberg.
Well, you don't believe it until you see it yourself. And I've been actively engaged, of course, in the political arena for well over 20 years, up close and personal. I mean, all my adult life, I've been watching the process. But when I got in the legislature myself, you start seeing those situations that do come up. You have the constituent call you and say, I can't believe what they're doing to my child in school or in some other public arena, and you discover that here's the agenda. That is to exclude parents from the process of raising children. And I say that because when it comes to the whole gender ideology that is rampant in our public schools, and you're right, most parents say, oh, no, couldn't be happening here. But the subtle little inferences that begin, which is teaching preschool kids to consider what their pronouns are relative to their sex, and giving them this concept that gender is something different, that's something you just choose or whatever you want. Well, that happens if you ask a kindergartner, so do you want to be called by she or he or anything else that you feel like you are? And you know, a small child like that isn't considering those things on their own, but it's being pressed on them. But what we see is that the schools are developing a policy of hiding this information from the parents. You know, it's not this transparent at all. If there's a situation, first thing we do is call the parents and ask, you know, what's that? Because that's what you do if you're, you know, if the child has a nosebleed, for example. You don't hide that from the parents. You call them immediately and say, you know, how do you want to deal with this? You know, et cetera. I'm just picked a possible malady that might be minor or might be major. Well, the parents are the first ones who should know and should have the authority to respond in an appropriate fashion. But when it comes to the gender stuff, no, they don't want parents to be involved and engaged in this. And this is so not only prevalent within the schools, within the, you know, the just the general policies, but if you look at what the legislature has been doing recently, it has been, and you referred to House Bill 1312 in this year's session, which has already gone through the Senate while we're recording, or the House while we're recording, and I'm sure it'll be well along the process by the time we are airing this. We need to recognize that the core problem we have at the public policy is keeping parents out of the mix.
And that seems to be what the agenda has been. So let's talk about Protect Kids Colorado, which is something that you are so involved in. And also, I think we should mention the documentary that you were very instrumental in filming, and that is artclubmovie.com. So let's talk about those two things. First of all, Protect Kids Colorado.
Well, Protect Kids Colorado really grew out of the efforts that I made, two and a half, almost 3 years ago now. I met Erin Lee, who is the mom of a young girl in northern Colorado who was confused by a presentation in an after-school program that was called Art Club. And that's, you know, the movie, simply the documentary, tells the story on what happened with them. And out of that grew our understanding that we've got to do something. And so several interested parties, maybe a year and a half ago now, decided, well, let's see if we can run an initiative or two dealing with these issues. And we ended up with a couple of initiatives, one dealing with prohibiting boys in girls' sports programs in our public schools, and the other one just dealing with the authority of parents, not hiding this information from them in the schools. And that was kind of our first bite of the apple. And at first it was just an effort to get some initiatives on the ballot. But we realized very quickly that we needed an organizational effort that was more broadly focused on the principle of protecting kids by promoting the authority of parents and, you know, making sure public policy thinks of the kids first, not some ideology like this gender ideology taking over public policy. So we formed the organization Protect Kids Colorado. I'm the chairman of the board, so yeah, that puts me right in the middle of it. Our executive director is Aaron Lee, the bomb that I spoke of earlier. We are mobilizing people all over the state, and we've introduced three initiatives for this coming election cycle, so won't be voted on by the general public if we get it on the ballot until 2026. But this year, we're going to be circulating these petitions, and we've gone and done our homework and come up with three initiatives that we think are very key to getting the public's attention and to getting something done. It doesn't do everything, but it's a good start, which we think we've got, you know, much more sophistication and resources than we had last year. And last year we really made a big first try at getting an initiative on the ballot, but we didn't quite make it. Well, we know how to do it now, I believe, and we're going after it.
So this will be for 2026, is that right, on that ballot?
Yes. Initiatives can only be voted on in the general elections on even-numbered years, which is when we vote for the legislature and members of Congress and, you know, other major things like that. But at any time, citizens can apply to put an initiative together, and there's a process you go through with the title board that takes a couple of months. So we expect to have the petitions available sometime in the summer.
This summer. Okay. And I know my friend Yvonne is working diligently on taking volunteers for people that want to help with this and help with petitions. So she's super organized. She's former military, former police officer. So she's super organized. And so she wants to have everything in place. So once those petitions are ready, that people can hit the ground. And so people can go to protectkidscolorado.org and you can go ahead and sign up to volunteer so that she and her other colleagues on that can get everything organized.
Yeah, and you know, our goal is not just to get a specific initiative on the ballot. Our goal is to develop an army of concerned citizens across the state that are ready and able to do this whenever we need to. You know, when you've got a legislature that's so out of touch with the people of Colorado, and that's what they are, on these issues in particular, people are, you know, the general public is just like, why are we going down this radical social engineering agenda? And so our goal is to create that true citizen team that can rein in the you know, a legislature that's just headed the wrong direction. And hopefully the people of Colorado will elect a better legislature in the future. But we want to make sure that we're always standing by to actually hold the truth up high. And I'm very excited that Protect Kids Colorado might be the beginning of a movement of citizen involvement, not just here in Colorado, but around the country in all the states where initiatives are allowed. And in those other states, we still, you know, they need to plug in as well as they can. But yeah, Protect Kids Colorado at protectkidscolorado.org is the place to join the movement that's going to revolutionize this state. I'm absolutely positive.
Well, I am too as well, Kevin Lundberg. We're going to go to break. We're going to continue this discussion with Kevin Lundberg. We've pre-recorded for most of Holy Week, and I have some other things that I want to talk with him about regarding this. We have these discussions because of our sponsors. And the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team wants you to feel safe and well-served and to understand your insurance coverage. So their office can respond to your call or text 24 hours a day. So for that 24-hour peace of mind, call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Car thefts, hailstorms, and uninsured motorists are presenting unique insurance challenges for everyday hardworking Coloradans. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team knows that when you need to make an insurance claim, financial strength matters. State Farm consistently receives high marks for the company's financial condition and ability to pay claims. For that peace of mind, to know that you are working with a financially strong company, contact the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment to assess your insurance coverage. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I did want to mention Hooters Restaurants. They have been sponsors of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories for many years. How I got to know them. It's a really important story about the proper role of government for the freedom for businesses to compete in the free market. And you can find that whole story at kimmunson.com. But Hooters Restaurants has five locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends to watch the games. We've got baseball and hockey and basketball. And they do have great lunch specials Monday through Friday, as well as happy hour specials as well. We are pre-recording for most of Holy Week. And for this Tuesday, talking with Kevin Lundberg, former Colorado State Senator, and talking about what's happening in Colorado. Now, Kevin, you mentioned in the first segment, since we're pre-recording, there may be things that have dropped in between us recording and the time that this is broadcast. We're going to talk about something that you just uncovered here in a little bit, but Protect Kids Colorado is organizing for these ballot initiatives for 2026. And you mentioned that you think that this will revolutionize our state, which I think that it will, because as volunteers go door to door and explain what is happening regarding legislation and policy regarding our children, I think most people say that's impossible. There's no way that could be happening in Colorado. And to have those discussions one-on-one is, I think, really going to change things in Colorado significantly, Kevin.
Well, yeah, especially when you multiply it times the literally thousands of people it'll take to get a project like this accomplished. We're trying to boil this down so that it's not a difficult thing, but many people need to pitch in and to help collect these signatures. I mean, you need over 125,000 valid signatures in order to qualify an initiative for the ballot. Normally the initiatives are simply bought. You know, somebody has a lot of money and they come in and they pay some professional firm to do that. And there's a place for that. But I think the citizens initiative needs to be redefined as primarily citizens interacting with other citizens saying, this is something we need to put in place. Will you help us by simply, if you're a registered voter in the state of Colorado, you know, sign this petition. And you point out that you know, this can happen door to door. It can happen at your local service club, among family members, at your church. Actually, we find churches are a very good place to really engage Sometimes you've got to educate the leadership of the church that that this is an appropriate thing, but we've had good success with that the last year when we first tried the initiatives here. And we're seeing much more acceptance as we move further down the road on this, too. So I believe it's revolutionary because it's that conversation starter that actually moves public policy into the kitchen table, you might say. You know, and so often people get so, you know, caught up in their own world that, and the concerns that they don't have enough time to spend, you know, to look at what's happening and to really meaningfully engage. Well, here is a great opportunity to sink your teeth into real public policy that will have real positive effects, and it's not that complicated, and it really is accessible to anybody. Grab a petition. We'll have probably about 40 slots on each petition, 20 or 40, somewhere in there. You know, won't be intimidating, and you know, you don't have to fill it up, but you have to get the signatures you can from your circle. You know.
Well, and Kevin, I carried some petitions for this last time around, and like everybody, I got busy, and then I'm getting down to the deadline, and so I did not get all of my petitions totally signed, which I felt badly about that, but I learned. And what I learned is that I'm going to need to be out there earlier having these conversations, because I think in my mind I thought I was going to knock on the door and say, hey, this is important, this is what the issue is, will you sign it? What I found is my neighbors wanted to talk about it. Sometimes we hadn't talked for a while, and they wanted to just get caught up. And so that's where I made a mistake, is I needed to make sure that I started earlier and allowed more time.
Yeah. And you know, it shouldn't be a painful process. It should be a very patriotic effort, exercising our true responsibilities as citizens. We've got to take that seriously. You know, far too many people have been asleep at the wheel, and that's why our state and our country have some problems that need sorting out, because we the people have a pretty good idea on what should happen if we'll stop and think about it. And this makes you stop, think about it, discuss it with your neighbors, with your friends, with your family, and be a meaningful part of a solution. You know, we're not asking for people to come out and just protest and harangue and cause problems. No, we're saying, let's provide solid solutions, and here's how you do it. And you know, it's been in the Colorado Constitution, I think, since the inception of the state. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe it was put in place decades after the state started, but for all of our lifetimes, we've had this ability to make law independent of the legislature, and that's what it says in the Colorado Constitution. We the people reserve the right to make law independent of the legislature. And why is that important? Because they, you know, we can be that governor, In the sense of, you know, making sure things don't get out of control, that meaning of the word governor, to public policy, and you know, I mean I'm just excited that to be a part and to watch this process as it begins to blossom and grow into a real tangible form of self-government.
Well, and one other thing, Kevin, is having these door-to-door conversations. As I am watching the legislation down at the State House, as the president of the all-volunteer group, Colorado Union of Taxpayers, quick advertisement, please join us. Go to coloradotaxpayer.org. It's only $25 per year. You'll get this very informative email regarding much of the legislation down there. And then, of course, make sure that you check out the Lundberg Report. as well, because Kevin has analyzed a number of pieces of legislation there. But I feel like there's this flooding of the zone that is making just the volume of bills down at the State House. And then if you look at the number of pages of the bills, I think you and I should... Maybe we can have AI do this at the end of the legislative session, go through and have how many words that there were proposed in the Colorado legislation in this legislative session. And I think that would be good. There's no way we could do it without, I don't think, AI.
And actually, I'll tell you a little bit of a story on myself. When I first ran for the legislature, I said, and I'm going to read every bill before voting on it.
Which is what you should do.
When I got in the legislature, the fact that I found it to be impossible, absolutely impossible, to read every word of every bill and comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned that I need to rely on some of my friends who were reading the bills that were most important to them. And also, after a while, I got more proficient at it. So that I maybe didn't have to read every word. I had to know where to look in every bill to figure out, is this a good idea or a bad idea? Because ultimately, as a legislator, that's your job, is to vote yes or vote no. So you have to figure out, is it a good idea, bad idea?
Well, and that's why with CUT, we're hoping that our email is a good tool for legislators where they can lean on us as this whole volunteer group has taken a look at a bunch of this legislation.
Yeah, and CUT's been around for such a long time. While I was in the legislature, I would I generally didn't look ahead of time. I was usually kind of pretty much in the same agreement with CUT, but I did pay attention to how my votes aligned or didn't align to CUT, because it's been a good group that has really been diligent, looking primarily on the financial side of things. And you have to, because you can't cover everything. You know, I try to, in the Lundberg Report, to just do this much. I do check out every bill. No, I don't read every word. But I do look at it, and I've learned, you know, you figure out who the sponsors are, and you read the summary, and you kind of dig a little deeper, and you say, okay, that one's kind of not that consequential. We'll pass over. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to put this in the good bill list. Or you dig deeper, like, this is a bad one or a really bad one, and I'll put that in the bad bill list. So it's very important that we draw on as many resources as we can from those who are proficient in figuring out what they're trying to do, because sometimes a bill will go all the way through the system, and nobody really caught the fact that it really had either a bad intended consequence or an unintended consequence that nobody really was figuring out until, lo and behold, that's law.
Right, and that's why we work on that. And, Kevin, we've got a little bit of a connection challenge, so we're going to go ahead and go to break. When we come back, I want to make sure that we have that remedied so that we hear every word loud and clear, because everything that you have to say is so important. Be sure and check out the KevinLundberg.com, and the Lundberg Report is there. That comes out every Saturday. And also the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, we would appreciate it if you would join us as well. And all this happens because of our sponsors. And for everything residential real estate, reach out to Karen Levine.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
The Second Amendment was established to ensure that all individuals have the right to resist oppression, stand firm against government overreach, and protect our ability to defend ourselves, our families, and our freedoms. Today, that right is under relentless attack in Colorado. Colorado's premier grassroots Second Amendment organization, the Second Syndicate, is on the front lines, fighting to preserve and protect your constitutional rights. We expose the most pressing threats to the Second Amendment and provide the education, resources, and tools to stay informed, empowered, and prepared. Join the movement. Protect your rights. Visit thesecondsyndicate.com. That's thesecondsyndicate.com, where the second is first.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You will get first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. And we are pre-recording for this week of, for most of the week of Holy Week. And so for this Tuesday, our regular guest during the legislative session is former state senator and author of the Lundberg Report, Kevin Lundberg. I always learn so much from him in these discussions. Kevin Lundberg, the first two sessions or the segments, we talked about Protect Kids Colorado, things that are happening down at the legislature. There may be some things introduced between the time that we are recording this to when this is actually broadcast, and we'll catch those next week when we're live. But right before we went on to recording, you came across something that could sound very, very nice, but actually, I think when you gave me the title, knowing what's happening in Colorado, I hear danger, danger. And yeah. This is Senate Bill 25-284, and it is titled Concerning Allowing Nonprofit Youth Service Organizations to Present to Students on School Campuses. I don't think this is the proper role of government. Who's paying these nonprofits? I have all kinds of questions just with the title. What about you?
Well, let me add a little context because, you know, I went through the Denver public school system many decades ago. And
did you ride a horse to school?
almost. You know, I was thinking, should I tell everybody how long ago it was? And I thought, nah, they wouldn't believe me. They weren't born yet, probably. But even back then, there were outside groups that would come in from time to time. You know, a teacher would say, hey, I've got a special guest speaker here on such and such. And maybe it would be an organization that all the time would go and, you know, work with students. Or maybe it was just, you know, some expert that, I remember once I went down to Texas to visit a cousin who was teaching. She was a middle school teacher. And she asked me to come in and be the special guest. You know, so I spent some time with their students. This has been happening all along at some level. But you see this title concerning allowing nonprofit youth service organizations to present to students on school campuses. Well, that caught me on the, what do you mean allowing? Does the legislature have to allow this to occur? It's been happening normally all along. But then you read down this bill summary, and here's what it says. On or before January 1, 2026, the bill requires, you know, it's not allows, it requires each institute, charter school, oh, and so now it's charter schools as well, district charter school and local board of educations to adopt and implement a policy that authorizes a youth service organization to present to students on school campuses during the school day about the opportunities available for extracurricular programs and enrichment activities through the youth services organization. Well, you know, as I say, my first question is, they're not allowing it. They're requiring that a policy be set up. Also insisting that this be a policy for all charter schools. And red flag pops up anytime I see that they're specifically stating, and this includes charter schools. Last year they passed a bill that said that all public schools have to abide by the the preferred name of the student, which is really code words for the transgender ideology. And they are required. And it said specifically, including charter schools. So that was a mandate that the legislature put in place. And let me go down just a little bit further. They've got a legislative declaration, which is won't become a part of law the way they worded it. But it simply says, we think it's a really good idea that there be outside organizations fostering resilience, leadership, civic engagement, providing structured support systems, mentorship opportunities, enrichment activities. Okay, great. Great. And they even point out these organizations help bridge gaps in services available in schools and communities, promote positive social development, and empower young people with the skills and confidence needed to navigate an increasingly complex world. Good. Good. I'm glad to see that. And, you know, as I say, when I was a student in the Denver Public Schools, I enjoyed some of that enrichment from outside speakers that came in and special events and the like. But then I want to go down to what a youth service organization is. And that's under the definitions part. It says youth service organization means a youth serving nonprofit organization that, again, they're going to repeat the promotes civic education and engagement, positive youth development, leadership training and opportunities, social emotional well-being.
Ooh.
That's a bit of a catchword for DEI.
Mm-hmm.
Career and job readiness skills, membership, mentorship opportunities, or community service opportunities to all youth, and does not discriminate on the basis of disability, race, creed, color, national origin, ancestry. And then it says gender. That sounds like what they've been putting in all of their legislation, that says that any organization that doesn't abide by the state's idea of gender ideology is not welcome. And so I'm going to bring this around to, sometimes there are Christian organizations, like there are pro-life organizations that have very good presentations that complement healthy sex education. They don't adhere to the gender ideology that the school or that the legislature has been imposing upon public schools. And so now they're saying, and if you're an outside organization, you better toe the line or you're not welcome in our public schools. That's what I'm reading in this. Now, it gives one exception. Except as described in Public Law 93-568 as enacted on December 31st, 1974. I actually looked that up and discovered that that has to do with libraries. Well, there's another bill in the legislature that makes it almost impossible for a school board to pull any pornographic books from the public school library that aren't appropriate for the age of the students that will be checking those books out. And so I'm sure that exception has something to do with allowing libraries more latitude in some ways, but I don't see that being played out properly either. Anyway, I see this, and I ask myself first, why is this bill here in the first place? Because public schools have always had the ability to do this. It's because they say that that all of the schools shall.
Which is those force words. We're hearing those force words of require and mandate and shall. And force words are the opposite of freedom words, Kevin Lundberg.
Yes, absolutely. So this is not allowing, this is forcing the all public schools, including all charter schools, to toe the line to the social, emotional, logical values that are being forced on our children through our public schools. And we already discussed earlier this hour that one of the key components that schools are putting in place is to hide this stuff from the parents. So, what looks like, because I was inclined at first in checking this bill out to think, oh, okay, well, it's not too bad. But digging deeper, I see the agenda that's been cropping up again and again and again. And so this one's going on my bad bill list. And I'm not going to name the individual, but there's one senator who I am very surprised is on the co-sponsor list. He's going to get a call from me, and I'm going to ask him, do you think that a Christian, biblical-based organization can be one of those nonprofits and abide by the rules that are in this forced policy development for every school, including charter schools? We've got to be on guard all the time. Well, and who knows how much the other bills are going to pop up before the end of the session, which is just a few weeks away.
I know. It's fasten our seatbelts. One other thing, Kevin, and I don't know that this has been scheduled for hearing yet, but I don't see a fiscal note on this. And this is something over here at the Colorado Union of Taxpayers. We're seeing bills going through that, you know, it's going to affect us from a fiscal standpoint. And we're not seeing fiscal notes on that. As a former state legislator, what's your thoughts about that?
Well, first and foremost, I learned that the best way to get a real quick snapshot of any bill, read the fiscal note, because it really oftentimes tells you the rest of the story. Now, I have a bone to pick with how they create fiscal notes, too, because oftentimes you don't get the full picture. But in terms of getting figuring this out, yes. Now, this particular bill, I doubt if there will be a fiscal impact because it's simply requiring that a policy be established and the policy being aimed at those organizations that are not paid for by the school system. You know, you could argue it's going to take some staff time to develop the policy, but school boards and, you know, be it charter or local districts, are going to be there doing this one way or the other. So it'll be absorbed in their normal things. But you're right. Fiscal notes, remember, anytime it's not just the money, if it takes money, that means that they're going to be meddling more and more into developing more and more regulations. And I'm just speaking generally of all bills. So anytime the government's going to spend money, it's probably, you know, the old axiom, as government increases, liberty decreases.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we're seeing this down at the state legislature that they are trying to increase government significantly. One of the ways to stop that is to stop the money. And that's one of the reasons why Democrats are toying with the idea of suing to get rid of Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. So we'll talk with Kevin Lundberg about that as well. And all these shows happen because of our great sponsors. I did want to mention the Center for American Values, which is located in Pueblo, Colorado. They are nonpartisan. They're nonpolitical. They're focusing on these foundational principles of honor, integrity, and patriotism through their educational programs, their On Values presentations. They're honoring our Medal of Honor recipients. It is really a special place. You should put it on your bucket list to visit it in Pueblo. More information, go to AmericanValueCenter.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. And then regarding sponsors, if you've been injured, be sure and reach out to John Bozen and Bozen. In law.
A serious accident or a life-changing injury can leave you with seemingly insurmountable physical, emotional, and financial challenges. How will you be able to afford your medical bills? What if you can't return to work? The attorneys at Bozen Law understand the immense stress you are under and want to help. Bozen Law's attorneys have decades of experience helping people like you navigate some of the most difficult times in their lives. Bozen Law can provide the guidance and support you need to get back on your feet. Call Bozen Law now at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary appointment. That's 303-999-9999. Don't delay.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter that you'll get on Sundays to see our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. A nonprofit I dearly love is the USMC Memorial Foundation. And we're coming into Mother's Day, Father's Day. A great gift would be to buy a brick that will be on one of their pathways of service to honor your loved one's military service. And to make all that happen, go to USMCMemorialFoundation.org. You will receive a beautiful certificate that you can wrap up and give as that gift. And so check that out there. We are pre-recording for most of Holy Week, and it is Tuesday, and every Tuesday during the legislative session, our featured guest in Hour 1 is Kevin Lundberg, former state senator, author of the Lundberg Report, which comes out on Saturdays. And really, I think you should have the Lundberg Report in your repertoire, as well as the Colorado Union of Taxpayers email that we send out on Mondays, and of course, listen to the Kim Munson Show as well. That is super important. We've talked about something happening down at the State House, and that is this resolution in the House to sue, and this is being proposed by Democrat legislators, to sue to challenge the constitutionality of a Republican form of government regarding Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. And we talked about it in depth last week. And do you have any new developments on this, Kevin Lundberg?
Well, we discussed a little bit on who's suing whom for what purpose. And it's of course, a House joint resolution. So the House passed it, sent it over to the Senate. Did the Senate already pass it?
I don't know if they have.
I don't recall. But I'm pretty sure they will, because, yeah, they're going to go after Tabor. And here's what I realized, did a little homework after we discussed this, because I wasn't sure who was suing whom. But in fact, what the resolution calls for is for the legislature or the legislative branch to use their legal services to essentially sue the state of Colorado and state that this part of the Colorado Constitution is not constitutional. Now, when we say Republican form of government, of course, this doesn't mean the political party, the Republicans. This means the small r representative government is Tabor, which puts constraints on the legislature, actually a violation of that form of governance. And I realized that it's the legislature suing the state, and who represents the state? Well, the attorney general does. So do you think, and this is my point, do you think the current attorney general for the state of Colorado is going to mount a hearty defense of the taxpayers' Bill of Rights in that lawsuit?
I think hearty is the key word there, Kevin Lundberg. And I think the answer is no, at least from what I can see, because it seems that they're kind of all in bed together regarding this push to Democrat control. And this Democrat party is not the party of JFK or your grandpa and grandma. This party is pushing total control. And it seems like all of these different elected officers are, well, these people that are in elected office are pushing that, including the attorney general.
Yeah. And so this is a concern I have, that if it goes is challenged. I'm sure they'll challenge it in federal court, but both sides, you know, will build their arguments up, and I have a feeling that the AG will probably build up kind of a straw man argument. Even though, to me, this is a ridiculous lawsuit. It's frivolous. It is beyond any reasonable consideration that when the people of Colorado, through the initiative process, which we discussed earlier in this hour, put something in the Constitution for the state that somehow that's unconstitutional because the legislature didn't come up with it. In other words, and we did discuss this. It's threatening the entire concept of the citizens' initiative, which is an accepted principle in dozens of states. So it's not violating a Republican form of government. It's just another way for them to come after Tabor. I do trust that if they go through with this and they end up in federal court, that there will be amicus briefs, which means friend of the court briefs from outside entities pointing out the absurdity of this entire argument that the leadership in the legislative branch is trying to propose here. They're going to waste a lot of money going after things. And by the way, as a little footnote, here's one more bill that just dropped. And this one is concerning support against adverse federal action. So they're setting up a cash fund to support the state's defense in court cases against federal actions. In other words, they don't like what Congress and the president are doing, and so they're going to sue them. And so here we've got another bill. It's House Bill 1321 that's going to be moving through the process to say, let's set up a cash fund so we can fund our challenges to what the federal government is most certainly going to do, because we're not going to play ball with them when it comes to defending protecting women's sports, defending the border, holding people who are here in this country illegally accountable for their actions. No, the state of Colorado is not interested in those things. So instead, we're going to fight them in court, and we're going to put up money to do it with.
Wow. And so that is House Bill 1321. And Kevin right. Lundberg, next thing is regarding Tabor. Basically, this lawsuit that says that it wants, that's challenging whether or not that Tabor is circumventing a representative form of government. But Tabor basically just says it's just good manners. It says, hey, PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, if you want to raise taxes, if you want to raise taxes on we the people that have to pay the taxes, if you want to incur debt that we the people have to pay that off, if you want to keep excess revenue above a very generous formula of population plus inflation growth, then you just have to ask us to keep that excess revenue. The fact that they don't want to ask us, I know that those on the left are trying to say that capitalists, people that want to keep more of their hard-earned money are greedy. I think the greediest thing you can do is use the force of government to forcibly take money via taxes, excess revenue, and incur debt on behalf of the people.
Oh, absolutely. And let's lay this against the backdrop of the budget that they're for this coming year, that's about $44 billion. Now, I was on the Joint Budget Committee for a couple of years, and this is like twice as much as what we did, you know, 5-6 years ago. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and that's with Tabor in force. And why? Well, because they found so many other ways to get around it. Instead of imposing new taxes, they call them fees. And by the way, that would make an interesting initiative to actually clearly define fees in such a way that they can't get away with this nonsense.
I like your thinking.
Anyway, yeah, that's just a little aside. You know, you can tackle that one. I'm busy on other initiatives
I know,
right now.
I know that you are. That is for
yeah,
sure.
And as government grows, diminish.
Yeah, absolutely. As government grows, liberty diminishes. We have just a couple of minutes left. One other question that's come up with regarding this question on a Republican form of government. So many of these legislators down at the State House have been appointed. They have not been elected. And there's the question, if they've been appointed, are they really a representative? How would you address that? Again, we've got a little over a minute.
Well, by appointed in the legislature, there's a vacancy committee that the party that they're associated with, or if you're unaffiliated and you run for office and you win that office, you have to establish your vacancy committee. You have to say, if I'm not available, these are the people that are going to select my replacement. I argue that those are elections. They're elections for a special need. Now, you could broaden that out and make it a bigger group, and there's some legislation wanting to do that, and I'm not totally opposed to that. I want to make sure nobody's putting their thumb on the scales to make sure that, you know, their group gets the say rather than the general public or the general membership within the party. See, having a partisan system, if you're elected Republican or as a Democrat, that means the people in your district said, I want to send a member of that party to serve that term. So if you have to be replaced, it makes every bit of sense that it be within your party. Currently, the party figures out how to do that. Yeah, the legislature is getting in and trying to manipulate that a bit. But I think they are elected. I really do.
Okay. Okay. Well, Kevin Lundberg, we're out of time, but I wish you and your family a very blessed Holy Week, a very happy Easter, Resurrection Day, and thank you for making this happen for us to pre-record for this show. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, and I hope to talk to you next week.
Sounds great. And Calvin Coolidge is our quote for the end of the show. And this is what he said. He said, unless the people through unified action arise and take charge of their government, they will find that their government has taken charge of them. Independence and liberty will be gone, and the general public will find itself in a condition of servitude to an aggregation of organized and selfish interest. And again, that is Calvin Coolidge. And so let's see, my friends, today, be grateful and read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
The socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water, what it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapping down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths and misconceptions is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. My friends, we were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. While you're there, sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays that goes out on Sundays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. The show comes to you 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. First hour is rebroadcast in the afternoon, 1 to 2 in the afternoon. Second hour, 10 to 11 at night. And that is on all KLZ 560 platforms, KLZ 560 AM, KLZ 100.7 FM, the KLZ website or app. Anywhere in the world, obviously. And also play KLZ Alexa. Apparently, we come in loud and clear on that. So be sure and check that out as well. For most of the week here of Holy Week, we are pre-recording our shows. And I'm really pleased to have our next guest, Ann Recker. Is a graduate of the University of Missouri School of Journalism. And I guess, Ann Recker, if you're from Missouri, you say Missouri, right?
Well, I'm actually from Boulder, Colorado, and I live in Denver now, but I went to the University of Missouri because it was the top undergraduate journalism school in the country.
Okay, so I can say Missouri. That's okay with you.
That's okay with me.
Okay.
I say it too.
Okay, and really a great career. She worked as a newspaper reporter, award-winning book and publications editor. That's a lot of work, my friends, and certified fundraising executive, raising millions of dollars for nonprofits throughout the Rocky Mountain West. She served on the staff or as a volunteer for Young Adult Christian Ministries at Stanford University, University of Colorado, and Central Philippine University, and in an East Los Angeles African American church. Ann Recker, welcome. It is great to have you.
So good to be with you, Kim.
And we're going to talk about your book. And the pre-release should have occurred right now. We're pre-recording, as I mentioned. But people can go ahead and find out more by going to your website. That's Ann Recker, ANNROECKER.com. And then the book will be released on June 2nd, which is right around the corner. But before we get into it, you sent over a couple of fun facts that I thought was super interesting. You said famous storytellers have graced your life from an early age, beginning with Chester Gould. So tell us a little bit about him.
Well, Chester Gould was the creator of the Dick Tracy comic strip. And back then, back in the day, Dick Tracy was the comic strip everybody read. And when Katharine Graham bought the Washington Post, she knew she wouldn't be successful unless she bought the Dick Tracy comic strip and syndicated it. So she did that. But the fun fact is that Dick Tracy's police chief, Pat Patton, is named after my grandfather. And so he was just part of our lives. We didn't call him Chester Gould. We knew him as Chet Gould. But he and my grandfather were fellow artists at the Chicago Daily News. So it was fun to have him as an inspiration.
Oh, I love adding these things into these stories because it makes it so interesting. And then another thing that you mentioned regarding your journey as a faith-based publisher, as an author. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my authoring began early. I worked for a faith-based publisher on CRU. Back then we called it Campus Crusade for Christ. And I was assigned to edit Josh McDowell's More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. So that was my introduction to apologetics, in addition to my faith journey, which began when I was a college student at the University of Missouri.
Well, and our college campuses, Ann Recker, are a place that a lot of kids I've heard that have grown up in a faith-based family, many times many of us fell away from going to church, kind of maybe lost our way a bit in college. So that's why this book that you've written, I think, is so important, The Revelation of Emory Audubon.
That's right, Kim. The studies are showing that the reason kids leave their faith once they get in, into college or past college is because their questions about their faith aren't being answered. Either their pastors aren't answering or their parents aren't answering them. And it's tempting to think that if a kid goes to youth group or they're engaged in a campus Christian group, that they're getting grounded in their faith. But that's not necessarily the case. Kids have so much content thrown at them, and they're bombarded with so many lies. We have to talk about Christianity in the bold way Jesus did, and we have to answer their questions about God if we expect them to stay grounded in their faith when they leave home.
Well, and so how do we do that? What's the best way to do that, Ann Recker?
Well, the powerful ally that I'm seeing is Christian apologetics. And it's happily, we live in a day where there's so many fantastic Christian apologetics out there defending the faith. That's what apologetics is. It defends our faith in the public square. But we have forensic scientists, astrophysicists, investigative journalists, medical doctors who started out as skeptics, but once they began to investigate their own questions, they found answers in Christianity, and it turned them into significant champions.
Go ahead. Well, one of the reasons why this really matters is because it's really for people's soul, their relationship with Christ. That's why this is so important that you do this. And it took me a long time to learn what the word apologetics meant. And as you defined it, it is a defense of the Christian faith.
Exactly. And the revelation of Emory Audubon is groundbreaking Christian fiction apologetics. And the reason I wrote this is even though we have terrific apologists out there, most teens and young adults, with all their distractions and entertainment options, aren't going to read volumes on Christian apologetics to answer their questions about faith. But they will read a good story. And that's why I wrote the Revelation of Emory Audubon. It not only entertains the reader, but it also seeks to answer their questions about God. I like to say, Kim, that apologetics fiction smuggles God's truth across enemy lines using story as a cover.
I love that, Ann Recker. And again, her website is Ann Recker. That's R-O-E-C-K-E-R, and it's A-N-N, so annrecker.com. We're going to continue the discussion, but all of this happens because I get to work with a lot of really great people. And I am blessed to work with really amazing sponsors. I know each and every one of them personally. I know that they strive for excellence as they're working in their businesses with their clients. And if you've been injured, what you will want to do is to give John Bozen and Bozen Law a call for a complimentary appointment because certainly you've been injured. You want to look at new beginnings. We're talking about new beginnings this week during Holy Week, from the cross to resurrection. John Bozen, welcome. We've got a lot to talk about today.
We do, Kim, and thank you for having me on. I am very humbled and proud at the same time, if you can be, to be a sponsor and have the opportunity to talk to you on a regular basis. I appreciate it.
Well, and I really appreciate you as well. And as we're pre-recording for most of these shows during Holy Week, getting to Good Friday, where Christ is crucified, but yet we look towards the resurrection of Easter morning. And I think that's something about life. We have tough things that happen, but yet we always have this goal of new beginnings. And I think that's one of the things that Bozen Law can potentially help people with is some new beginnings in their lives.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, but first of all, I mean, yes, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, made the incredible ultimate sacrifice for every one of us so that we would have that opportunity for everlasting life and, you know, repent our sins, accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. So, I mean, that is what this week is about. It's the most important thing in my life. I know it's the most important thing in yours and many of your listeners. And I do cross over that line. I've been advised by business lawyer friends, other friends of mine. You know, that's not something you probably should talk with clients about, but I don't have a problem with it. Their souls and salvation is more important than anything. And then right behind that, us, when we have the opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life, and we have that opportunity a lot, tomorrow is never promised. And I do help a lot of folks with new beginnings, because the folks that I help have, in some situations, had horrific things happen to them or to a loved one, or someone has been lost. And so I help families regroup, kind of get back on the path. And it's extraordinarily difficult sometimes, but it's incredibly rewarding to see someone who's had their life just completely set off that path they were on, and do the best to get them back on that path and going forward again. And I'm exceptionally proud of the law firm and the teams that we have that are assigned to help people, you know, do just that.
Well, and if new beginnings, if someone's been injured, or we've also mentioned about Social Security disability, the best thing to do is to give a call for a complimentary appointment to kind of do an assessment on everything that's going on. And so what's the best way to make all that happen?
Best way is to call that number, 303-999-9999. They're going to talk with one of our very experienced and confident staff or attorneys, and oftentimes they will talk directly with me. And that initial advice, we've talked about it so many times, it's so important. And I just encourage listeners out there, I hope nothing happens to you or a loved one. Life will inevitably hit all of us. And when it does, whether it's a neighbor, a coworker, a friend, and again, hopefully not a family member or yourselves, listeners, but when something happens and you know someone should reach out, encourage them to call me sooner rather than later, because it really can make a significant, sometimes huge difference in how things go and how quickly things go. So the sooner I talk with someone who's been involved in a situation or a family that's lost someone, the quicker we can really get things going to help them get to that new start. That, I hate to put it that way, but it is. It's a new beginning, and sometimes it can be tough. But without representation, without competent, experienced, strategically aggressive representation, it can be a real mess, and I just hate seeing people make mistakes by waiting too long to call. So they should call, or have someone call, or encourage someone, push someone to call 303-999-9999, so they, as soon as possible, can get the advice that it can, again, will often make a huge difference in how things ultimately work out.
Well, and John Bozen, thank you so much, and I wish you and your family a very blessed Holy Week and a very happy Easter.
Back at you, Kim, and all of your awesome staff and your family, too.
Okay, thank you.
It seems like we are getting squeezed everywhere. Inflation, high taxes, at the gas pump. Where can you save money? Well, when you bundle your insurance coverage with the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, you may save money on your insurance premiums. The Roger Mangan Team will help you with a personalized plan to cover all your insurance needs for your home, auto, boat, and renter's coverage. For a complimentary appointment, call the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855. That number again is 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Team is there.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show, because it is of these great sponsors that our independent voice on this independent station is being able to have these important conversations. And for this Holy Week, for most of the days, we are pre-recording the show. And pleased to have on me the line with me, Anne Recker. She is an author, and her book, which you can pre-order it by going to Anne Recker, that's R-O-E-C-K-E-R.com, and it has a June 2nd release date scheduled. And Anne Recker, we talked a little bit about this, but there are a number of studies out there that say 50 to 70% of Christian young adults leave the church even before they maybe leave home for college. And that's pretty daunting as we really think about it. And there's so much that is being thrown at our young people in this particular culture these days, Anne.
That's right, Kim. And the studies that are reporting this have found that the reason kids are leaving the church is their questions aren't being answered about God or Jesus or the Bible. And so we have to go deeper with kids. We have to invite their questions. Sometimes we have to answer their questions before they even ask them. And not to be afraid when they ask hard questions about God. But that's where stories like mine come in. It's Christian apologetics fiction. And that fiction seeks to answer readers' questions about God. There's also great options out there with Christian apologists who are presenting so much fantastic evidence for our faith through astrophysicists, investigative journalism, medicine, forensic science, history, all support our faith in Jesus Christ. But what's exciting to me as a writer of fiction is we can smuggle God's truth across enemy lines using story as our cover and offer up a fun way for kids to learn to get answers to their questions about faith.
Well, so let's talk about the revelation of Emeria Audubon. Tell us a little bit about the story. Of course, we want people to read the book, but tell us about Emery. What's her story?
Her story is that she's a very smart young adult, and she's been accepted into the top university in the nation. She isn't a loser. She isn't a victim. She comes from a loving family. But the woke culture we experience today has gone farther. The Bible's been banned. Churches have been closed. And it's now the law that schools have to teach there is no God. So that's what she's facing as she's going off to college. But she doesn't think there's anything wrong with that. She's accepted that untruth. And so what happens to her is another student invites her to take an illegal class on the Book of Revelation. And in that illegal class, which meets in secret in a campus basement, she gets exposed to God's truth. And in this class, she learns about the symbols in Revelation. And from that, she is equipped to not only come to faith, but to confront the wickedness in her university. And it's a story about a girl who uses truths from Revelation and the Bible to dismantle the wicked schemes at her university.
So Revelation is, that's always been a difficult book for me to read and understand. I have some friends that I've been trying to work my way through a study of Revelation, but that's a pretty tall order for her to start with Revelation.
A really good insight, Kim, and that's, it's not the usual typical on-ramp for learning about the Bible and faith. But most scholarship and best-selling stories are out there about Revelation, and they all talk about the end times. They ask the question, how and when will Jesus return, as he promised to do? But as spine-tingling as this is, I think these scholars and storytellers are totally missing the point of Revelation. Revelation is mighty good news because it's telling us God is going to stop evil once and for all. And once he does that, there'll be a reformation, the ultimate reformation, first with society and the new heaven and new earth. And I don't know about you, some days I feel like the sooner the better. So
Yeah, sometimes I feel like we're living in some of this. This evil that we see in our world right now is, it's really kind of unbelievable. And on the show, we talk about what's happening down at the Colorado legislature. And there's things that are just downright evil, an attack upon our children. And boy, we have such a responsibility for our children. So I think this brings up something that you said, that our young people, their questions are not being answered. And I think that sometimes, even as Christians, we have a difficult time answering the questions, understanding what the questions are. Is there a God? If how can God let bad stuff happen? All those kinds of questions. Does Emory tussle with any of that in the book?
Well, she most certainly does. And her big questions and the questions that are answered through this story, is God there? Is he good? And why hasn't he stopped evil in the world? Oh. And she starts to wake up to the fact, A, there's a spiritual, she's loved. A, God is there. A, God isn't just there and up there somewhere. He's there in a personal way for her. And so she finds the answers to those questions. And the reader's going to have to read the story in order to find those answers for themselves, Kim. But I think one of the things you said on your show that I appreciate is it takes work to get our heads around the issues. And so you're on call to bring truth and clarity, and so does this story. It seeks to bring truth and clarity. And what's fun for her is that she learns this from the symbols in Revelation, what they mean and why they matter.
Well, and so tell me a little bit more about her friend that gets her to this illegal class. And what does the illegal class look like? Do they have to, is it like the old speakeasies, try to get in through a door? What does that look like in the book?
Well, and on this campus, it's illegal to have the Bible anywhere in the public square. And so when she first arrives on campus, she meets a fellow student. She's walking to her class the day before her first class to find out, you know, to see how long it takes her to get there. And another student comes alongside, and his name is Ian. And Ian is an important part of this story. He's a Christian. And he invites her to come to this illegal class. He just has an instinct, you might say, or a prompting from the Lord to invite her to this class. And the way this class works, it meets in secret in a campus basement, and students who sign up for this class have to sign up using a secret code, and then they can't tell anybody they're in the class. And they come in, they don't come in all at once. They have to come in at groups. So nobody, no officials on the campus notice that the class is taking place. But it's in a rundown, out-of-commission auditorium. And she's at the top university in the country. So the rest of the campus has the best technology, the best seating, the best rooms, the best this, the best that. But this room, it's rickety and the seats are all worn out. But kids come, and because it's an elite school, there's only 50 students in each class. But in this class, 100 kids show up.
Wow.
And Emory's surprised to see how come all these students are showing up. And as she comes to this first class, she realizes she won't get credit for it. She realizes it's illegal, and students who've taken this class before, if they find out, they get kicked out of this top university.
Well, let's keep that. Let's keep that as a cliffhanger as we go to break. I'm talking with Ann Recker regarding her young adult apologetic fiction book, The Revelation of Emory Audubon. We have these discussions because of our sponsors, and one of those great sponsors is Lauren Levy.
The current level of interest rates is causing challenges and creating opportunities.
For nearly 20 years, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, Lauren Levy, has helped individuals realize their hopes and dreams of home ownership, fund kids' educations through second mortgages, and access capital by utilizing reverse mortgages. Lauren's not constrained to work with just one lender. Because he works with many different lenders, Lauren offers you choices for your individual mortgage needs. Knowledge is power, and preparation leads to success. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881 so that you are prepared for the opportunities in the mortgage market. That's Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881.
You don't have to suffer the consequences of someone else's negligence on your own. The attorneys at Bowes & Law have extensive experience handling all types of personal injury and wrongful death claims involving motor vehicle accidents, medical malpractice, defective products, catastrophic injuries, and more. Bowes & Law also assists clients with matters related to workers' compensation and Social Security Disability, SSD. Bowes & Law takes pride in truly getting to know their clients and genuinely cares about helping you seek the justice you deserve. Call Bowes & Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary consultation. That number is 303-999-9999. Call Bowes & Law now.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. And a nonprofit that I dearly love is the Center for American Values, located in Pueblo, Colorado. It is nonpolitical. It's nonpartisan, focused on just really these foundational principles of honor, integrity, and patriotism that plays out in their portraits of valor of Medal of Honor recipients and their quotes, their great little quote book, as well as their K through 12 educational programs, and then also their on values presentations. So check all that out by going to AmericanValueCenter.org. So pleased to be talking with author Ann Rucker regarding her book, The Revelation of Emory Audubon. It's a young adult apologetics fiction, and it is scheduled to be released on June 2nd. You can pre-order it now at Ann Rucker. That's R-O-E-C-K-E-R.com. So, Ann, we're talking about The Revelation of Emory Audubon, and I'm trying to think about Emory. Here she is. She comes from a Christian family, a good family. She is at the top university. She's had that great accomplishment. She runs into Ian, and somehow he invites her, and she goes to this secret meeting on this top campus where the Bible has been basically outlawed, and churches are closed. And she shows up. There's over 100 kids there. And she's probably saying, what have I gotten myself into? Yes?
Yeah, she's absolutely saying that. But she begins to learn truth in this class. And she begins to see that there's a God who reigns and redeems. And that may not sound shocking to us, but Emory's been taught her whole school life that there is no God. And it's now the law to teach that there is no God. And so this is shocking news for her to wake up to the fact that the truth that she's been dished all her life is, in fact, not true. And that there is a source of truth, and that's the Bible. And that there's a God out there that loves her. And she begins to ask questions, and she opens up her Bible and begins to read it. And Ian has been a big part of that. And it's not that big of a leap of faith to understand why Emory first listens to Ian. You know, it doesn't hurt that he's good looking and that he's friendly, and he's invited her and welcomed her into a new exploration. So bravo to Ian for reaching out to a fellow student.
Well, Ann Recker, with so many of our young people, I think that they have been taught this, and I'm thinking of a number of millennials, that there is no God, and that in a way you can be your own God, that you can have your own success. I think a lot of young people, millennials, are, I think they're looking at this and starting to say, is that all there is? And I think that there's a lot of questioning. I think that many young people are saying that, gosh, I want more. And I think there's a great awakening that's occurring.
I totally agree with you. And I think it's turning into a reformation. And my story models what being part of reformation looks like. Emery starts out as a student that has no faith, and that she's been indoctrinated into a way of thinking that absolutely is not true. And so what happens is she sparks reformation at her university. And the story models what discipling the nations can look like for a young adult in today's woke culture. And it's a reminder that we Christians can't stand on the sidelines anymore and hope things turn out for the best. We have to bring God's truth to the public square.
And what would you say, Anne, that truth, what is that first initial message of the truth? And I've just been looking for this quote that I wanted for the end of the show, and that is John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So how do you explain that truth to young people?
Well, I think we have to give them the freedom to discover it themselves. First, we invite them into the conversation. We invite their questions. We invite them to read the Bible. We invite them to talk to God and invite the Lord into their lives. I like to say it's like downloading the operating system on your computer. You can't, your computer doesn't work until you download the operating system. And the same is true with our faith. We download the Holy Spirit, and God starts to illuminate the truth. So we have to trust that process. But, you know, I think some of this started back when I was a young adult, when I was in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. What was happening then was the Jesus Revolution. Millions of individuals, including me, came to faith during this time, and church services got livelier. But this revival didn't move on to reform our systems and institutions. And secular atheists filled the gap. They reinvented marriage, school, sports, quote-unquote, the science, arts, media, and much more. And so many of us got sucked into this, going along and getting along, trying to love our neighbor. But we have to, Emery's story is about living up in that revised societal, redefining what societal norms are. And so she's fully indoctrinated in that, and she doesn't think anything's wrong with it. And that's part of the challenge for youth today, is they don't see anything wrong with the legislature you're talking about and the things that are happening in the schools. They've gotten used to it, but we can't get used to it. We have to call it what it is. And so we're hearing about some revivals happening on college campuses now, which is wonderful. But my hope and prayer is it's time for students to see these revivals as the first step to reforming our nation and being part of it. And you've mentioned, Kim, that a reformation is taking place, and I think that's absolutely true. And we want to be part of that. And like I mentioned, the revelation of Emery Audubon models what that might look like for a young adult.
Well, and human beings are relational beings. And I've gone through now, I'll see if I can remember it exactly. And I'd come up with five R's that I thought were important. I was having a conversation with this, about this with a friend of mine that's fallen away from the faith. And my five R's, and I'll see if I can remember them, is redeemed. And as we're talking about Easter week, Christ went to the cross for each and every human being throughout time, throughout the history of the world, I believe. I think he redeemed. Everybody has that gift of redemption, but we need to recognize that. And once we recognize that, we ask for now I'm losing my word. We ask for forgiveness, and then that brings us into reconciliation and ultimately relationship with God. And I think that we as human beings, we want relationships, and that most foundational relationship is with Christ. And I'll think of that other R here in just a minute. I hate it when that happens, Ann Recker.
Well, you're doing better with that list than I would.
But I think that relationship, as again, I look at our young people, our millennials, that they are now looking at this, realizing that, hey, I do want relationships. I want a relationship with Christ, and I want a relationship with others as well. And I think that that is a real awakening that is happening as well in America.
I totally agree. And I might add to your thought, Kim, that that relationship, that as we celebrate Easter week, that the greatest apologist of all time is Jesus Christ. He came to offer up evidence of God's love, and he defended his deity through miracles and healings, culminating in his resurrection, which we celebrate this Easter. And that's an invitation to bring our questions to him. We don't always have to ask everybody else. Sometimes we need to go directly to God and say, hey, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And I found he's on it. He answers that question. It might not be in a text or an instant, but he does answer it.
I agree, he does. And I figured out my five R's again, and so I'll let you comment on that and see what you think. So redeemed. We're all redeemed. We need to recognize that, repent, which will bring us to reconciliation and ultimately relationship with Christ. So those are my five R's on that. And you know what? Those are actually pretty good. That's a pretty good template for your major relationships in your life as well.
Yeah, that's it. That's a great summary.
Okay. And so let's talk a little bit more about Emory. So she's gone to this Bible study. And you know what I think I'll do is I don't want to cut this off. Let's go to break a little bit early on this, Ann Recker, because I want to find out then what happens with Emory without telling us the whole book. I'm talking with Ann Recker and her book, which is The Revelation of Emory Audubon. And you can pre-order that by going to Ann Recker. That's ANNROECKER. And we have these discussions because we have sponsors like Karen Levine.
Property is surely a right of mankind, as real as liberty, wrote Founding Father John Adams. RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine has been working diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect property rights and home ownership. Karen has navigated the often challenging Colorado metro real estate market for years. Karen Levine is the trusted professional for you to turn to when you are buying or selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment opportunities. Realtor Karen Levine, you want her on your side of the table. Call Karen at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
The Second Amendment was established to ensure that all individuals have the right to resist oppression, stand firm against government overreach, and protect our ability to defend ourselves, our families, and our freedoms. Today, that right is under relentless attack in Colorado. Colorado's premier grassroots Second Amendment organization, the Second Syndicate, is on the front lines, fighting to preserve and protect your constitutional rights. We expose the most pressing threats to the Second Amendment and provide the education, resources, and tools to stay informed, empowered, and prepared. Join the movement. Protect your rights. Visit thesecondsyndicate.com. That's thesecondsyndicate.com, where the second is first.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N, S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And do check out the USMC Memorial Foundation website. And we're coming into Mother's Day, Father's Day. A great gift to honor your loved one and their military service would be to buy a brick that will be on their pathways of service. You'll get a beautiful certificate for that that you can give as a gift. And again, support the USMC Memorial Foundation. That website is usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And again, thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. Fascinating interview with Ann Recker. She is an author, and she's written this book, The Revelation of Emory Audubon. And you can pre-order the book at ann@annrecker.com. And Ann, our young people, there is so much noise that is coming at them. And to try to get through all this noise is a real effort. You can go to movies. You can go to the mall. You can hear the music. There's just so much noise. And to try to get through it takes some real work. So I think this book is super interesting on that. So Emory Audubon, she goes to this class that is illegal, and Ian has invited her. What happens after the first class?
Well, after the first class, she goes, this is interesting. This gives me some new things to think about. The professor, Dr. Phillips, has told the class that there's a spiritual war, and that in Revelation, the Lord trains us how to win that spiritual war. And Emory walks away from that class, and she goes, well, I don't think there's a war. There's peace out there. Everybody's on the same page. That's why this educational reform initiative that's banned the Bible and closed down churches is so good. It gets everybody on the same page. Mm-hmm. So she starts with a small question. And she doesn't see it all right away. And then she goes to the next class. And then the next class. And she's finding that Jesus is getting harder to ignore. And that truth that's truly truth is starting to sink in. And so it doesn't start small. And we learn that the Lord often starts small in our lives. He doesn't always start with a big blast like he did with the Apostle Paul with a Damascus Road experience. Sometimes he starts with a little question or a little relationship or a little this or that. And what Emory soon finds out that the devil doesn't start small either. He takes a little lie.
Or he doesn't start big. He starts small, too. Yeah.
He starts small, too. He counterfeits the Lord. And then he takes a little more and a little more and a little more. And Emory begins to see that the devil's schemes sneak up us on our society, on our school systems, and on us. And so she starts to be aware that the devil is the liar who says things that sound good at first. But at the end of the day, he's out to ruin her life, and he's not against her. He's against God, and he doesn't want her aligned with God. And so when Emory wakes up, she wakes up, not suddenly, she wakes up at a little at a time. And then she finally starts to see that her school system is not only indoctrinating her, her college too, they're making her think the way she does. She doesn't have a choice. And if she doesn't, they're going to punish her. They'll kick her out of school. They'll kick her out of jobs. They'll kick her out of opportunity. And so for her, science plays a big role in all of this conversation for her, because her father is, her mother's a believer, but her father isn't a believer, and he's a pioneering scientist. And he maps out out of solar system space missions. And I consulted with a top NASA scientist who now does commercial space innovations. And he consulted this story and confirmed the scientific truth. So she begins to answer questions. Part of the answers to her questions is from the background she already has. And I think the Lord plants things in each of our lives that crop up later that invite us to Him. And in her case, it's science, because her father, she's been around leading scientists, her father being one of them, her whole life. And she can see that creation is God's calling card. There's so much precision. She starts to say, you know, I can see this wasn't a happy accident. So it gives her an openness to go a little farther with the Lord, and a little farther and a little farther. And as she meets more Christians and she gets exposed to more truth, she finally comes to a place where she's ready to talk to God herself. It's not just talking to other people about God. She talks to God and says, okay, if you're there, you know, come on in. She kind of doesn't think he will. She doesn't expect this, you know, we don't all come in this huge blast of faith. Sometimes it's just a little mustard seed of faith. And in God's kingdom, it's enough. That little mustard seed is enough, and it grows and grows for her. And so that's where she is. And as she begins to see evil, she, I don't want to give away too much of the story, but she finds herself cornered by the officials of her school. And she, God, speaking of revelation, God reveals stuff to us all the time, and He gives her a roadmap. But she doesn't see the whole thing. She has to take one step of faith, and then she gets another step and another step. And pretty soon, Emery's on a mission that's bigger than she is. She can't pull it off without God. And she doesn't really want to be there. She doesn't want to change society. But there she is. But, you know, she's one of the things she learns is that the Word, the Bible, it's living and active. When we present it out into the public square, it can't help but redeem and restore. It's the way it is. It's not about us and how competent we are. The Word gets out there, and it starts making its way, and its mission is to bring us into relationship with God. I love the list you gave us earlier, Kim, about redeeming and restoring and repairing and ultimately a relationship.
I need to add those in there. I love that, restoring and repairing. I love all those R words on that. I was reading, now I can't remember where it was exactly in the Bible, but I think it was in one of the letters of Paul. Maybe Timothy, but I've always wondered, when we get into a situation where we may be where Emery is, it sounds like, with the officials at her college, I'm thinking, would I have the words to say what I'm supposed to say? But in the Bible, we're assured that God will give us those words.
Well, exactly. And Emery discovers that. And she doesn't think, she doesn't know how this is going to work out. She just knows that she needs to do it, that she can't not do it. And I've been reminded of, as I've done this story, that those small acts of faith, reformation starts with those small acts of faith in our daily lives that align with God's Word. And these acts have a ripple effect. And Martin Luther, when he nailed his theses to the Wittenberg church door, he wasn't trying to reform the world. He was just mad at his archbishop for ignoring the corruption in the church. And so he nailed his letter of complaint because he was mad one day and he couldn't stand it any longer. He had no idea that this one act would change Western civilization. His act had a ripple effect. And we can find, you know, this is a great adventure. When we are obedient on one thing, the word by its nature will have a ripple effect and it'll go out in ways we might not even know it's doing.
Well, and that's why we were supposed to be faithful every day. So moving over, just we have a couple of minutes left, to little things and how little things can become big things. And I think about our founding. Our founders, in a way, they were nailing something to the door as well. They were sending over to King George, hey, this isn't fair. Hey, this isn't right. We don't like this. It was over a period of years, which finally culminated in the Declaration of Independence, where again it was unique in the history of mankind that we, this little 13 colonies on the eastern seaboard, would say, we are founding a country on an idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I think all that matches up so beautifully with the whole Christian message as well, Anne. So we got a couple of minutes left. Your final comments.
Well, my final comments are these, is that let's make America spiritually powerful again. Reformation begins with us when we stand on God's word in the public square, and we have the opportunity to do that in little ways every day, and let's go do it.
Well, and a great place to start. I would highly recommend that you get the Revelation of Emory Audubon on your bookshelf at home and give this to some of the young people in your life as well. And you can do that by going to Anne Rucker. That's AnnRoecker.com. And thank you so much for writing the book and for sharing the story with us.
Thank you, Kim. Wonderful to be with you.
And our quote for the end of the show is from John 8:32, and it says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So, my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.